and also be made partakers in his resurrection. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now hear the words of the processional gospel. The next day, the large crowd had come to the feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm branches and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." We join our voices as we sing "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," and we're going to do a very big Lutheran thing, and we're going to be moving our hands.
Thank you.
You may be seated for the reading of Scripture.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 50, starting with verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 118, which we read responsively. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them.
I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me.
And they become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
And it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna.
Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will thank you.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We join our voices as we sing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. As you are very well familiar, this Sunday, this Saturday, is Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, right? So we start off with the palms, the great triumphal entrance, and we conclude with kind of what's coming forward during Holy Week, the Passion of Christ. Tonight I'm going to be focusing on our second reading, Philippians, and so I'll get started. So I have a question for you. What's in a name? What is in a name? I like singing those old hymns, right? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Hope we're not recording this. But I want you to think the year was 1750. And it happened in a village in West Africa. There was an infant son that was born. And the infant son belonged to Omoro and to Britta. It was a special time of naming. You see, the Mandinkas, they took pride in naming each and every child. And it was so important that they would take 7 days. 7 days where the couple would go off by themselves and they would wrestle with what they would name their child. A child was extremely important to the village. So the village, while mom and dad were all trying to choose a name, the people in the village were celebrating, having a big feast, having lots of fun. It was such a joyous time to bring a child in to the village. Well, Ormo, he knew the importance of what he must do. You see, they believed that when a child was named, they would take on 7 characteristics of either the person that they took the name from or the thing that the name came from. You see, there was a lot of power in the name. There was a lot of meaning behind the name. Well, finally, the day for naming arrived, and all the villagers, they stopped their merriment, and they gathered around because they wanted to know from the couple what this child would be. And everybody came. It was not only the village elders, but it was the priests. They wanted to know what the name of this newborn son was going to be. You see, the Mandinkas, they believed that before you let everybody else know what the name would be, that that child would hear the words first. And so Omoro, he took the child and he whispered, Kunda Kente, Kunda Kente. And then he went, Kunda Kente, Kunda Kente. Oh, everybody is cheering. Oh, what a great name, what a great name, Kunda Kente. And then Omron, after this big celebration was done, the naming was done, he took that little child, Kunta Kinte, and he raised him up, looked up into the heavens, and said, Kinte, Tunte, Kunta Kinte, which meant, behold, the only thing greater than you and your name is the God that created you. Many of you probably know what I'm talking about. This is the movie Roots. How many of you saw the movie Roots? Tell you what, it changed my perspective on African Americans and kind of what was going on in Africa. We know that as you watch the movie, Kunta Kinte, he was captured and he was sold just like cattle were back in the day. And his new owner was going to rename him, and he refused. He refused because from the village, it was so important because there was power in the name. His name meant something. And when you watch him, he goes, "What's your name? Kunta Kinte! Kunta Kinte!" He would not relish it. You see, what's interesting is when you study scripture, both the Hebrew as well as the Babylonians, they had the same thought when it came to names. They believed that you did not exist unless you had a name. It was very important what your name meant. You see, a name reflected your character, your personality, and one's very essence. A name was given with a lot of great care and held a lot of significance, not only for the individual, but also for the community. Well, in tonight's text, we are met with the significance of another name, and that's the name of Jesus. So what's in a name? What is in a name? Paul, who wrote his letter to the Philippians, to the Philippian church, he writes to them and he says, "You know, I really appreciate you because you have been so generous in the ministry in Philippi. Despite all the array of different philosophies and different beliefs, you Philippians are true saints. And the reason that you are saints is because you have formed yourself into a special community that is different from the rest of the world." Paul was trying to remind the people of Philippi that the place of Christ in the life of those Philippians had changed their lives, and they needed to continue to follow Christ as required. In other words, Paul was saying, you know, you cannot lose focus. You need to be focused on the one Jesus, to whom all allegiance you are giving your lives to. Jesus was the one. He was the Christ. He was the Messiahship, the manifested, that came into our entire world, and that you need to continue to follow him. They were to be different. Because you see, Christ in his kingdom, it's different than the world's. You know, I can about see Paul. You know, he had encountered Christ, right? Changed his entire life. And I'm sure he was so darn excited. And I know as sometimes as a preacher, you really get into the gospel text and you get excited. And so do you lay people when you discover that, oh my God, God sent his only son in human form and he died for me. I have hope for the future. Jesus is alive in me. Jesus calls me to be one of his disciples, to be different, to be the hands and feet, to be different because God's kingdom is different than this world. One of the things I like doing is in St. Charles, I go to two different like nursing homes and I do worship services every other week. And I love it because I'm getting to know the people that are getting to know me. But you know what? When we sing some of those old hymns, bam, man, they just belt them out. You know, I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I mean, they just belt that out. They know the story. They know the hope. They know Christ is with them. They know that Christ has a future for them. Paul, you see, is reminding the church in Philippi that this Christ is not just a Philippian Christ. No, this Christ came for the entire world. That's where when you look at the text, it says, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name. That is the name above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, there is power in the name of Jesus. I like reading. Recently, I finished a kind of an older book by a professor by the name of Howard Thurman. He wrote a book entitled With Head and Heart. With Head and Heart. And he tells a story in there where he was invited to travel down to South India, and he was to go to this cathedral, and he was to preach a sermon about Jesus. And so he did. He delivered his sermon just like I am tonight. He thought he did a pretty good job. And at the end of the service, as he was standing in back, you know, people were crowding him because he was kind of a well-known guy, professor. This young man comes up to him and says, "You did my master wrong tonight. It's a terrible thing. You preached your entire sermon, and not one time did you call my Savior by name. Not once." Wow. Professor Thurman was stunned. He said, "Well, young man, when I came here, I'm trying to give you the essence of Jesus, the values that he brought. I came to tell you of his witness and talking about the kingdom on earth as well as the kingdom to come. This was all, my sermon was all about Jesus." And the young man said, "Yeah, that's correct, but you're missing the point. You did not call him by name. And it is important that his name be lifted up, that he might draw all people unto himself. You see, there's power in the name. There's power in the name of Jesus." Now, don't raise your hands, but have you ever had the telephone ring? Somebody maybe picked it up, and they said, "Hey, so-and-so is on the phone." And one reaction is like, "Ugh, I don't want to talk to them." Or it could be, "Yes, I want to take that phone call." Right? You know what I mean? You hear someone's name, you either have good thoughts or bad thoughts. You see, there's power in a name. And I'm sure that when you had your children and you were looking at names, you're going like, "Nope, we're not naming our child that name. Nope, nope, nope." And finally, you select a name. And usually the name that you chose is somebody that you knew that was just super special. Right? Because you want your son and daughter to live their life knowing that there's power in the name, but more importantly, that there's power in the name of Jesus. Henry Nouwen, one of the great authors, he wrote a book entitled In the Name of Jesus, and this is what he says about the name of Jesus. He suggests the depth of the relationship one has is what gives meaning to the name. The depth of the relationship that we have with somebody, particularly with Jesus, is what gives it meaning. My mother, her name is Josephine Agatha Hedman, and we always called her Josie, right? People just love my mom. Hard worker, good person, very faithful. And whenever I would... matter of fact, when my mom would call me, I'd pick it up because that was a good call, right? But there was power in her name. Every time somebody would hear my mother's name, they'd go, "Man, she's a great woman." And that's because of the relationship that she developed with other people. Yes, there's power in the name because there's power in the one who's named. A number of years ago, one of my chaplain colleagues, he was to give a prayer before sending troops overseas. And you can probably relate to this. And he got in front of all these people. There was probably 400 people. And he gave his prayer. And he concluded it by saying, "And in the name of Jesus, I pray." Woo! Firestorm! Holy smokes, people came out of the woodwork saying, "Hey, that chaplain cannot use the name of Jesus. He's offending other people." "Nope, can't do it, can't do it." Well, guess what? It almost went up to the Supreme Court, but not that high. But the chaplain corps, we fought it and we won. Right? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So what's in a name? Actually, there's plenty of things with a name. A number of years ago when I was in Fond du Lac, I was at home and I got a phone call and I picked it up and it was from the local jail. They said, "Yeah, we got this guy that just came in and he wants to speak with the pastor, chaplain. Are you available?" I said, "Well, sure. I'll be coming over." So I got there, and I had heard on the news about this husband who had murdered his wife, strangled her to death. This guy was a mean dude. Well, guess who I needed to see? This mean dude. And I'm going like, "Oh, man, I should have asked before I went. You know, God, why did you put me in this situation, right?" But I'm there. And I can remember, because they were just going to let me and him be there alone. And I thought, "Man, if you wanted to have one more kill, I'd be it." I can remember walking in and I said, "Jesus, Jesus, please have mercy." And I can remember there was this peace and this calm that came over me. And I went in and we sat down. I looked in his eyes, and I could see that there was a lot of fear, and, you know, he was fearful of what he had done. And we talked about Jesus. We talked about forgiveness. And there was this peace and calm that came over him. There was power in the name of Jesus. Jesus was there. Oh, don't we all wish that the world would know such power, such peace, such purpose, such hope, because of the one that is named Jesus. So we Christians, we like to sing, right? "Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us." I lost my place. "Blessed Redeemer, living Word." There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll continue by singing "Love Consecrates the Humble Act."
Consecrates
I invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the prayers of the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Spirit, you are the Lord and giver of life. We thank you for filling us with your strength. Empower our witness so that we may boldly share the truth with others in Christian love and service. At every time and in every place, we are given the opportunity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, inspire your church to live to lives of faithfulness, boldness, and compassion, so that through its witness, many may join it in singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of goodness, all creation proclaims your glory. Open our eyes to see your power and majesty in the detailed beauty of our world, and open our hearts to be gentle caretakers of the earth. Let the glory of creation be a testimony to your power and greatness, that we may live in praise and awe each day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks, everlasting Father, for your servants who have departed this life in faith and now share the joys of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly ask that with them we may live in Christ and die in him, and at the last awaken in his likeness in the resurrection to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, we lift up to you all in need of your healing touch. Grant healing of the body for the sick, comfort of the soul for the grieving, and bring peace to those whose minds race with worry or confusion. We pray especially for those we now name before you, either silently or aloud.
Jean and Larry.
Bless with healing all who put their trust and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask that you remain seated as I go ahead and read through the Passion Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
Lord.
When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could be sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring his ointment on my head, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be in memory of her. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 silver pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on that first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed him, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after the other, is it I, Lord? He answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it all of you. And this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with him to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again the second time he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, and the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus and at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid their hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of them who were with him, Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, who will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus came to the crowds. "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized him, Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. And they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" And Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And they slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know that man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went out and hung himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "This is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. And was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them to the potter's field as the Lord directed them." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, they gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now that the feast of the governors was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governors took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns they put on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of his robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among them by casting lots. And they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of Man, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lekum min sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bypassers, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and to save him." And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly,